This is Jody Apple.
Let's get into our study. The Golden Rule comes from two key passages, Matthew 7:12, which reads, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The second passage, Luke 6:31, says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." Today's thoughts focus on this, the Golden Rule and love for your enemies. The passage we're going to focus on starts in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and following. This is what we read. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Let's consider this passage. The general context of Luke chapter 6 parallels that of Matthew chapter 7, in that both are part of what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount. The specific context of Matthew 7 starts in 5:17, the first reference to the law and the prophets. That context ends in Matthew 7:12, where we observe not only the statement of the Golden Rule, but where we are also told that this, the Golden Rule, fulfills the law and the prophets. Thus, references to the law and the prophets open and close that larger context. The specific context of Luke 6 appears to be even narrower. Still, within the confines of the Sermon on the Mount, and still following after the Beatitudes, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and following, addresses the application of the Golden Rule not just to all humanity, which it does broadly in every context in which it appears, but specifically here to our enemies. Our passage today starts with the words, "But I say to you who hear." The word "but" indicates a change of some kind, something to be contrasted with what immediately preceded. It is one of many flag words that we encounter in the New Testament that prompts us to examine the thematic, the geographical, the chronological, and the audience context where those words occur. Jesus is the one speaking. He just concluded the section we know as the Beatitudes, paralleling the same message we read in Matthew 5. In Matthew's account, the text launches into a discussion, first, of the faithful as salt, light, and the city on a hill, 5:13-16. These illustrations declare how our physical, visible lives are designed to glorify God. Immediately after that, Jesus launches into the larger context of the relationship between his teachings and the law and the prophets in Matthew 5:17. That larger context continues through the rest of chapter 5, includes all of chapter 6, and concludes with the next reference to the law and the prophets in chapter 7, verse 12, the first statement of the Golden Rule that we study. Luke's account does not include the extensive law and prophets discussion found in Matthew, but rather discusses the responsibility of God's people to love all mankind, and in this context, specifically, their enemies. Jesus' opening remarks, starting with the word but, indicates that there might be some issue with the implementation, that is, the practice, of the principles that he is about to set forth. He states that he is going to say this to you who hear. This expression indicates that there must be some anticipated level of preparedness, not just in the hearing, but in the believing and the carrying out of the principles and practices that he's about to set forth. The first and singular principle that Jesus sets forth in this setting captures everything about the essence of his people. More completely, it sets forth the singular principle that defines the nature and character of the Godhead. What is that singular principle? Love your enemies. Exactly how is that principle, love of enemies, to be carried out? The rest of the passage develops its application. We must do good to those who hate us. We must bless those who curse us. We must pray for those who abuse us. We must suffer violence from those who strike us. We must give clothing and so forth, and not withhold anything from those who have needs. We are to give to those who ask from us, and from those who take from us, we are not to demand anything in return. Love for enemies means just what it says. Only those classified as enemies would hate, curse, strike, take, and so forth from us. These actions, that is, the actions of enemies, directly oppose the directive that Jesus gives us, namely, love your enemies. If our enemies considered and applied the same principles and actions that we are bound by, they would never hate, they would never curse, they would never strike, take, or anything else from us. They would rather patiently accept this sort of behavior when demonstrated towards them. They would never even think to inflict it upon others. The strength of Jesus' teaching comes across in many ways. First, it is in stark contrast to the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the I will get vengeance attitude. Jesus addressed this dramatic change when he said in Matthew 5:38, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." What he said in that setting is further explained immediately afterward. "But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." These thoughts continue for the next several verses. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus expands upon the love for your enemies principle with this obvious difference. He starts with the idea of eye for an eye, which is not found in Luke chapter 6, and moves to an even greater principle of love for our enemies, without explicitly stating those words, as he does in Luke 6:27. Another key observation: Jesus' remarks in Luke 6 reflects repeated emphasis on how much God wants us to live according to these principles. The word love in 6:27 is present active imperative. What does that mean? It's imperative, something that we must do. It is active, meaning that we must actively, actually, and really be engaged in this practice. It is present, indicating that we should live it now as well as in the future if we want to be acceptable to God. This by itself should be compelling, but there is more. The command to do good, 6:27, carries the same weight. So does the command to bless those who curse you, 6:28. So does the command to pray for those who spitefully use you, also 6:28. And the offer, 6:29, of the other cheek, same principle, same practice. And it doesn't end there. Give to everyone who asks of you in 6:30. Don't ask back, also 6:30. And be merciful, 6:36. All carry the same intent. They're all imperatives. They're all commands. They're all pressed on those who would follow the Christ. Do you get the idea that this is important to the Christ? All of the actions that we are instructed to do, or to refrain from doing, are summed up in the first two commands in this context. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. The guiding principle that undergirds those first two commands to love and to do good is found in chapter 6 and verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. This is Luke's record of the golden rule stated by the Christ. Built into this statement are many fundamental principles about the nature of God, the nature of man, and how we, if we desire to be gods, must act toward our fellow men. How do we want others to treat us? In the greater biblical context, those who want to be godlike must expect godlike treatment from others toward themselves. Though some might express or demand a more selfish expectation, selfish expectations do not square with the greater biblical context. The greater context demands, extols, expects selfless, not selfish behavior. Remember, we must want from others what others will want from us. Next principle, the way we behave towards others is governed by the way we want others to behave towards us. Though not expressly stated within the confines of Luke 6:31, the greater biblical context demands selflessness and mutually beneficial reciprocity. The greater biblical context demands that this behavior reflects the character and the actions of a merciful God. The character and actions of a merciful God are such that He treats us the way that He wants us to treat Him. Namely, He loves us even when we are unlovable. Our initial and our continual mercy must not only be rooted in God's already existing eternal mercy, we must personally and individually exert the energy to employ mercy ourselves, to everyone, to meet needs, to love enemies. When we practice mercy out of love, respect, and service to a God who loves, respects, and serves us, we fulfill our role in the golden rule. Thank you so much for listening today.